ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। वी आर बिगिनिंग अ न्यू चैप्टर फ्रॉम टुडे। दिस इज 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 49 अक्रूरस मिशन इन हस्तिनापुर। We'll go through texts 1 through 11, but we'll chant the first verse. Shri Shuka Uvacha Sagatva Hastinapuram Sagatva Hastinapuram Pauravendro Yashonkitam पौरवेन्द्र यशोंकितम् ददर्श तत्रांबिकेयम् ददर्श तत्रांबिकेयम् सभीष्मं विदुरं प्रिथाम् सभीष्मं विदुरं प्रिथाम् श्रीशुक उवाच सगत्वा हस्तिनापुरम् पौरवेन्द्र यशोंकितम् ददर्श तत्रांबिकेयम् सभीष्मं विदुरं प्रिथाम् श्रीशुक उवाच सगत्वा हस्तिनापुरम् पौरवेन्द्र यशोंकितम् ददर्श तत्रांबिकेयम् सभीष्मं विदुरं प्रिथाम्
पूरं पौरवेन्द्र यशोंकितं तदर्श तत्रांबिकेयं सभीष्मं विदुरं प्रीतां। माताजी श्रीशुक उवाच सगत्वास्तिनापुरम् पौरवेन्द्र यशोंकितम् तदर्श तत्रांबिकेयम् सभीष्मं विदुरं प्रीताम्। श्रीशुक उवाच तदर्शास्तिनापुरम् पौरवेन्द्र यशोंकितम् ददर्श तत्रांबिकेयम् सभीष्मं विदुरं प्रीताम्।
श्री शुक उवाच।
शुकदेव गोस्वामी सेड,
सह
ही
अक्रूर
गत्वा
गोइंग
हस्तिनापुरम,
टू
हस्तिनापुर
पौरव
इंद्र
ऑफ
द रूलर्स
ऑफ
द डायनेस्टी ऑफ
पुरु,
यशः
बाय
द ग्लोरी
अंकितम
डेकोरेटेड
ददर्श,
ही सॉ
तत्र
देर
अंबिकेयम
द
सन ऑफ
अंबिका
धृतराष्ट्र,
स
टुगेदर
विथ
भीष्मम
भीष्म
विदुरम
विदुर
प्रीथाम
प्रीथा
कुंती
द विडो
ऑफ किंग पांडु।
टेक्स्ट टू
इज
सहपुत्रम
सहपुत्रम
च बालिकम
भारद्वाजम
सगौतमम
कर्णम
सुयोधनम
द्रौणीम
पांडवान
सुरिदोपरान।
ट्रांसलेशन ऑफ
वन एंड टू।
शुकदेव
गोस्वामी सेड,
अक्रूर
वेंट टू हस्तिनापुर
द सिटी
डिस्टिंग्विश्ड बाय द
ग्लोरी ऑफ द
पौरव रूलर्स।
देयर ही
सॉ धृतराष्ट्र
भीष्म
विदुर एंड
कुंती
अलोंग विद बालिका
एंड
हिज सन सोमदत्त।
He also
saw Dronacharya,
Kripacharya,
Karna,
Duryodhan,
Ashwatthama,
the Pandavas
and other
close friends.
Yathavadupasangamya
bandubir
gandini sutaha
samprishtastai
suridvartam
swayam
chaprichadavyayam.
Translation.
After
Akrur, the
son of Gandini,
had appropriately
greeted all
his relatives and
friends,
they
asked him for the
news of their
family members,
and
he in turn
asked about their
welfare.
Text
4.
Uvasakati
chin masan
ragyo
vritta vivitsaya
duspraja-syalpa-sarasya
khala-chandanuvartinaha.
He
remained in
Hastinapur
for several
months to
scrutinize
the conduct
of the weak-willed
king who
had bad sons
and was
inclined to give in to
the whims of
mischievous
advisers.
Teja
ojo balam
viriyam
prashrayadims
chasad gunan
prajanuragam
partheshu
nasad
nasahad
bischikirshitam
kritam
cha dharta
rashtrayad
garadanadya
peshalam
आचख्यौ
सर्वमे
वस्मै
प्रिथा
विदुर एवच।
कुंती
एंड विदुर
डिस्क्राइब टू
अक्रूर इन
डिटेल
द
इविल इंटेंशंस
ऑफ धृतराष्ट्रस
सन्स,
हु कुड नॉट
टॉलरेट द
ग्रेट क्वालिटीज
ऑफ कुंती'स
सन्स सच एज देयर
पावरफुल
इन्फ्लुएंस,
मिलिट्री
स्किल, फिजिकल
स्ट्रेंथ,
ब्रेवरी एंड
ह्यूमिलिटी
और द
इंटेंस अफेक्शन
द सिटीजन्स
हैड फॉर देम।
कुंती
एंड विदुर ऑल्सो
टोल्ड अक्रूर अबाउट
हाउ द सन्स ऑफ
धृतराष्ट्र
had tried to
poison the Pandavas
and carry
out other
such plots.
Prithatu
bhrataram
praptam
akruram
upasityatam
uvacha
janma nilayam
smarantashru
kalekshana.
Kunti
Devi,
taking advantage of her
brother Akrura's
visit,
approached
him confidentially.
While
remembering
her
birthplace,
she
spoke with
tears in her
eyes.
अपिस्मरन्ति
न सौम्य
पितरौ
भ्रातरश्च
मे
भगिन्यौ
भ्रातृपुत्राश्च
जामयः
सख्य
एव च।
क्वीन
कुंती सेड, ओ
जेंटलमैन,
डू माय
पेरेंट्स,
ब्रदर्स,
सिस्टर्स,
नेव्यूज,
फैमिली वुमेन
एंड
गर्लहुड फ्रेंड्स
स्टिल रिमेंबर
अस।
भ्रात्रेयो
भगवान कृष्ण
शरण्यो
भक्तवत्सलः
पैत्रस्वश्रेयान्
स्मरति
रामश्चाम्बुरु
हेक्षणः।
Does
my nephew
Krishna,
the supreme
personality and
the compassionate shelter
of his devotees,
still
remember his
aunt's sons?
And
does lotus-eyed
Ram remember
them also?
Text 10.
Sapatnamadya
shochantim
vrikanam
harinim
iva सान्त्वयिष्यति माम वाक्यै पित्रहीनांश्च बालकान्.
Now that I am suffering in the midst of my enemies like a doe in the midst of wolves, will Krishna come to console me and my fatherless sons with his words? And text 11 has a purport. In fact, this is the main climax of this narration.
Krishna, Krishna, Mahayogin, Vishwatman, Vishwabhavana, Prapannam, Pahi, Govinda, Shishubish, Chasvasidatim.
Krishna, Krishna, O great yogi, O supreme soul and the protector of the universe, O Govinda, please protect me, who have surrendered unto you. I and my sons are being overwhelmed by trouble.
Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Purport.
Since Lord Krishna maintains the entire universe, thought Kunti Devi, surely He can protect our family. The word avasidatim indicates that Kunti Devi was overwhelmed by troubles. Thus exhausted, she was helplessly taking shelter of Sri Krishna. In her prayers in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kunti admits that all these troubles were actually a blessing, for they forced her to always be intensely Krishna conscious.
Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha Om Gyanat Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sva Padantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
The previous chapter, chapter 48, is entitled Krishna Pleases His Devotees. And we read in that chapter how Krishna pleased Kubja and Akrura, who had come to Vrindavan at the behest of Kamsa and had taken Krishna Balaram away. It's kind of strange that Akrura is a pure devotee and still he agreed to go to Vrindavan and bring Krishna and Balaram, knowing Kamsa's intentions. Kamsa had no intention of showering his maternal uncle's mercy on them. He had previously planned to kill both of them. He had that intention in mind. And it would continue to remain like that. Shukdev Goswami, while speaking about Kamsa, sometimes suddenly that anger erupts in him. He calls him Kula Pamsana. It's a very funny way how our Rishi Munis used to abuse or they use swear words. Kula, dynasty. Pamsana is like the burnt remnants of his dynasty. This person, his dynasty is burned to ashes. And this is what remains. Kula Angar or Kula Pamsana, these are the words used. So one understanding from this outburst is that in a proper setup, Srimad Bhagavatam ceases to be just a narrative. Srimad Bhagavatam stops being just a historical story being told by someone and listened by people. It comes alive. It has that quality in it. And to that extent, Srila Prabhupada wanted his Srimad Bhagavatam classes. The earliest things which Prabhupada instituted in ISKCON, even when some other things were not yet in force, where the classes teaching Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. And in fact, there is a letter by Prabhupada telling one of his disciples, "Oh, you feel you have trouble understanding philosophy? So, I am instituting this examination system." Prabhupada wanted Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, and especially he encouraged his followers to approach this subject of Srimad Bhagavatam from various angles. And provided it is done seriously, like perhaps, we should not be beating our own chest, but in almost all the temples we have the Bhagavatam class as a sacred time where any other kind of sound or noise is not tolerated. And sometimes people who come for the first time, they wonder, why such a fuss? In fact, at any other temple, you'll have big bells going on, and that's like temple life. But in one sense, this is like a process of knowledge transmission, where the speaker benefits the first. Normally you feel the speaker is already benefited, otherwise why should he speak? But no. In a Bhagavad class, the speaker is the first one to benefit. He feels like, I've been given a chance to serve this great literature. And those who listen, they benefit. Those who ask questions, they benefit. Sometimes devotees feel, I don't have any questions. Am I wrong? Am I not doing something properly? So Maharaj once answered that regularly attending Bhagavatam class means you are curious to understand. That's good enough. So we will begin with how Shukdev Goswami is beginning his narrative. Krishna's mission in Mathura is like almost over. Kamsa is dead. Akrura is happy. Krishna has come to meet him. Kubja also is happy that episode is over. Now here Krishna is telling Akrura, telling him to go on an errand, telling him to go and do something. Now we'll try to build up the proper philosophical foundation for this. When Krishna says to someone, do something, we take it as if any ordinary person is telling us, oh, could you get this done for me, or could you do this? Like your boss telling you to do something, or in the family you are told to do something. Normally when a person cannot do something, he tells others. Or if he has a hold on someone, like an employer has a hold over his employees, I pay you for this, so you have to get that job done. Why Krishna has to tell someone, could you do this for me? Here the Bhagavatam is very clear. Don't think that Krishna cannot do anything. He can. In fact, he shows. The creation of this universe, it's itself the test that Krishna didn't take help of anyone. When Brahma is to be given birth, Brahma is called Atma Yoni, Swayambhu. Krishna doesn't take help of a woman to give birth to Brahma. So Krishna's leelas, they show his magnanimity. They show how he is performing activities like a human being. Shukdev Goswami is very clear on that. He uses words like nara leela. We are all naras. You, me, stri, purush, whoever are in this material world. But certainly we are not doing nara leela. You and me are not born here, or anything what we have done since our birth has nothing to do with leela. It was practically forced, you can say at gunpoint, or you can say, the Bhagavatam has another typical village example. Yatha gava nasi, just like a bull who is pulled by the rope going through his nose, the living entity is pulled in various directions and being forced to do something. Surprisingly, somebody is forced to accept poverty and somebody is forced to accept millions. Both are forced. We don't think like that. But somebody who is a winner in lottery, he says, oh, today, you know, as they say in Hindi, chappar phaad ke diya Bhagawan ne. But you are forced to accept that. Whether any good will come out of it, that depends on you. But you are forced. So this force, somebody sitting practically on your forehead, again an Indian expression, that, you know, you, when somebody is telling you, do this, do this, do this, you may say, my God, this person, I have to get him off my back. But every living entity, he has the three modes, sitting on his back practically. And just like a horse is being told, go here, go here, go here, go there. And that's what makes us tired. We really are tired. And we want some relief, we want to get out of it. Krishna, because everything what he does is leela, he doesn't at any point of time say, enough of this dancing and enough of this flute playing, enough of... No. There are various potencies which serve him, hand to foot. They are like always there to serve him. I checked, there is no proper dictionary meaning of the word leela. Our Satyaraj Prabhu and other scholars in ISKCON, they have tried, and like it has to be a various combination of words. First of all, freedom, playful nature, total happiness. These are some of the things which are the components of Leela. There is total freedom. And there is lot of happiness. Lot is again a very mild word. Immense, intense, oceans of bliss. That those kind of things come up when there is Leela. And there is freshness. Nothing gets stale. Krishna Leela is described as Nitya Nava Navaya Mano. It always is fresh. So, in the first verse, it is described here, Sa Gatva, Sa is here Akrura, coming to Hastinapur. Prabhupada mentions briefly, Hasti was a king many generations ago, and he made this kingdom. And also there were a lot of elephants. Kings used to have elephants, Gajashala, where the elephants would be housed. Previously, opulence was counted with the help of whether how many horses you have, how many elephants you have. An elephant in the house of someone, that means you know he's got to be rich. I mean, elephant needs so much. And that too, decorated elephants. So, now you can see, though there is no such kind of opulence anywhere. Hasti Shala, Gajashala or Ashwashala have been replaced with your car garages. You have the latest models of imported cars. So that has replaced that. But previously it was measured in terms of elephants. And one recurring theme which you read in the Bhagavatam is the streets would be sprinkled with fragrant water from the trunks of elephants. So that was one major theme. Always it comes again and again in Bhagavatam. Here, Paurava, Yadu, Anu, Puru, these are the three sons of Yayati, if some of you may remember. So Puru's descendants are the Pauravas, Yadu's descendants are the Yadavas. So this city, Hastinapur, was Yasha Ankitam. It was decorated with palaces, with mansions, with roads, and very, very well maintained gardens. Dadarsha Tatra Ambikeyam. Now these names are given. Ambikeyam, Bhishmam, Viduram, Pritham. Vedic culture also has this style of giving names according to either your father's name or mother's name. So, little bit in the history of the Mahabharata. Amba, Ambika, Ambalika, the three sisters who were forcibly captured by Bhishma Dev. And Amba means a mother, like we have Jagadamba, or our city is Mumbai, the Mumbai Puri, Mumbai Devi, Mumbai. She is a mother, goddess, Devi, she has a temple. So Amba, and smaller Amba is Ambika, and smaller is Ambalika, the three sisters. Yeah, that's how the names are derived. And Ambika's son is Dhritarashtra. So, Dhritta, one who has forcibly captured Rashtra, the king, the kingdom. That means his mind was so occupied that, why was he so occupied with the kingdom? Because he knew that since he was blind, he would never become king. And then there was this intense competition that my son, if I get a son first, he becomes the king. So much so that Gandhari, when she heard that Gandhari and Kunti both were expecting, and when Gandhari came to know that Kunti actually gave birth to Yudhishthir, in that moment, that frustration, she bit her, hit her abdomen. And then that lump of flesh came, and then they become the Kauravas. But what's done's done. Yudhishthira is senior. So, although he is senior, somehow there was a scheme, not a scheme, a scam really, to take away his kingdom, take away his rightful throne. And there you have the whole Mahabharata in a nutshell. That somebody grasps kingdom in his mind, he is thoroughly obsessed, I want it, I want it, I want it. And then this is the result. So Akrura goes there, then he sees others, Bhishma, Vidura, Kunti, Bahalika, the son of Somadatta. Akrura is called here Gandini Suta. That means the son of Gandini. So it seems that a person can have many, many names. The son of his, like Krishna, Yashodanandan, Nandanandan, son of his father, son of his mother. Vedic culture has that kind of very colorful variety. We do have, somebody has nicknames, that thing is here. But mostly the names, they describe your characteristics, your features also. Again, something very simple which we do nowadays also. Surid Varta Swayam Cha Aprichad Avyayam. Akrura came there, greeted by all his relatives and friends. They asked him for news of their family members, and he in turn asked about their welfare. How are you? Everything is okay. He remained in Hastinapur for several months. Now this is a important verse, verse number 4, and we'll discuss a few concepts on this. Uvasa Katichin Masan. Uvasa is to stay. He stayed there for Katichin, many, many months. Ragyo Vritta Vivitsaya. The activity of trying to find out. This is what is Akrura's conclusion. He saw the king. He is described here as weak-willed. His will, his determination, his mind was very weak. Alpasara, Dusprajasya, very bad sons, wicked. Khala Chanda Anuvartina. And he was surrounded by very mischievous. Now mischief is something which our kids do mischief, but here it is like a serious word. So weak-willed, bad sons and mischievous advisors. A very bad combination. We'll take the elementary ones first. Weak-willed is what we'll discuss in detail. Bad son. Chanakya Pandit said, a bad son is like a bad eye. Kanena chakshusha pidaiva kevalam. If you have a chakshu, an eye which is bad, has a wound in it, pus, or is sore, the eye is supposed to help you see things. Now here this eye is not even showing you anything and still is giving you misery. So this is that kanena chakshusha. In fact, in one place Chanakya Pandit goes on, he's very angry, he says, putra shatrur apanditaha. That son is your enemy. Who is apandita, who is not learned, who is not intelligent. And certainly Dhritarashtra had 100 of them. Sometimes I felt that, wow, it is like tough. Your children are born. At the very moment of their birth, someone telling you, cast them away. Throw them away. Now there are omens, the Bhagavatam describes how when Dhritarashtra, Duryodhan was born, donkeys were braying, meteors falling, darkness all around. Certainly not a very jovial kind of sign. And Vidura at that time is telling that, you know, give him up.
Now Dhritarashtra is saying, you know, what do you mean give him up? You know, this is my chance of getting a kingdom. And that one thing kept on haunting him throughout his life. In fact, he didn't give up his affection even after all his sons were dead. It is that bad, or it is that thick. So bad sons, mischievous advisors. The Bhagavatam says, it is bad if somebody is attached to sense gratification. But it is worse if you are attached to a company, to friends who are attached to sense gratification. In common parlance, it is bad if you are a drunkard. But it is worse if all your friends are drunkards. Now normally it is like that, isn't it? There is no loner drunkard anywhere. It's always, why did you get this habit? Well, you know, I had to stay this friend circle and then peer pressure. So mischievous advisors, and one important thing is when Kamsa saw how the six children of Devaki, he actually dashed them on the rock. Six babies. The seventh one, he heard was a miscarriage. Now he was waiting for the eighth one. The eighth one was born. And he came, so much expectation in his heart that if I just kill this one, my job's over. He picked that baby. He was surprised to find that, hey, she's not a boy, she's a girl. At that moment, Devaki is pleading that, I'll give her as your daughter-in-law. She can marry one of your sons. He is in no mood to listen to any marriage proposal right now. It's the only thing in front of him is, you know, this is my death. So he picked that baby up, tried to dash her onto the ground. She slipped away from his hands and appeared in front of him. Ashtabhuja. This time she was not in any mood to say, all right, you know, we'll try to sort it out. You fool! At that time he actually could understand that, hey, this is something serious. And he was trying to make some kind of an argument that, well, you know, I was told it's a boy, therefore I tried to kill. And seems like even in the heavenly planet they cheat and lie and do all kinds of things. And I'm really surprised. She's Maya. She's Vishnu's sister. She's Maya Devi. She's illusion personified. She is the enemy of any sadhaka. Of course, she's not an enemy in that sense. She has a role to play. She gives material benefits. She fulfills your material desires. That's her role. But she cheats. She doesn't tell the truth. Why? Because that's her job. And she begins her career, so to say. The first statement she says is, your killer is born somewhere else. Wrong. He was born right there. Of course, in that sense, Krishna is everywhere, but she tells him the wrong thing. Your killer was not born here, he was born somewhere else. Don't torment your poor sister and brother-in-law. Now that was a revelation. And Kamsa is like, my God, what did I do? What do you mean, what did I do? Was he sorry for him killing? Killing was not a very serious problem for him. But these innocent babies being killed, that pap, that sin will affect him somehow. What's to be done now? Actually, he is in a moment of desperation. He is sitting very morose. He is thinking that, I goofed up royally. I'm in a mess. I need to get out of this. And who comes at that time? His advisors. And they are described as Kala, they are described as Asuri, they are described as demoniac. And they say, Maharaj, this is not the time to think in terms of peace and all these kind of lofty sentiments. Time to act. So he says, yeah, I'm ready, but what am I supposed to do? Do something! Kill your enemy before he becomes big. How am I supposed to understand who's my enemy? Oh, he's just born a few hours ago. So what do we do now? Kill all the newborn. Everywhere. He said, but, you know, we are what we are, but killing newborn children, doesn't it behoove us that, doesn't suit our particular position? They say, Maharaj, this is not the time to think in terms of right and wrong. Just do it. So basically, Kamsa is also like we find ourselves in that particular situation where we know what is good, we know what is better for us, but we can't give up the association. And therefore, for many people, the advice is, whether you can chant a particular number of rounds, or that you can read something, or forget it. In the beginning, just try to give up that particular association. That is more important than anything else in spiritual life. Once you are away from degrading association, things can be worked out very well. They may take a lot of time, but at least you are safe. Doctors here will understand how somebody is staying contaminated and also taking medicine. Doesn't work like that. You need to be free from contamination at least. Now we come to the main part of this verse, which calls Dhritarashtra as weak-willed, alpasarasya. We'll begin from the Bhagavad Gita, where in the second chapter itself, Krishna explains this thing to Arjun. Rather than explain, Krishna actually is abusing him. There it is called Ridaya Daurbalyam. Bala is strength. Durbala is weakness. And Ridaya Daurbalya is the weakness of heart. The English language has a phrase called the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak. The spirit, in the sense, you have good intentions, you want to do something, but the flesh is weak, there is not much of support from the body. First example is of Arjun. Arjun is asking Krishna various questions, why should I kill? Why should I kill my dear friends, relatives, brothers, my own guru, my own grandfather? And Krishna is saying, forget it, just go ahead. Start the battle, that's all. He's not willing. At the end of the first chapter, he has given up his bow and arrow. Gandivam samsraste hasta tvakchaiva paridaijate. He says, Krishna, my mind is reeling. My bow is slipping from my hand. And then actually, he himself has given it up. He says, I can't fight. So in the beginning, Krishna's answers are, once you go in the thick of battle, you'll get used to it. Just do something. Make a beginning. The prospect of enjoying a kingdom, that will make you happy. And Krishna suddenly says something which was so, it was like chili sauce entering your ears. Very, very hot. Klaibhyam masma gama partha naita tvayupapadyate kshudram ridaya daurbalyam tyaktva tishtha parantapa. He says, you're like a eunuch. My goodness. To call a warm, not warm actually, hot-blooded kshatriya a eunuch is like heavy, really heavy language. And what is Arjuna proposing before Krishna? Well, I know what is dharma of a kshatriya is to fight. I know if somebody is wrong, you try to correct them. But wait. Here there is my revered grandfather, my teacher. You are telling me to show my art of archery against the source of this art, somebody who taught me that. Pujarha vari sudana, I should be offering them flowers, not aiming for their heart or their face with my arrows. And wait a minute, your name is Madhusudan, you killed the demon. Arisudan, your name is Arisudan, you killed enemies. You are making me Bhishma Sudan, Prabhupada says in a lecture. I am not Bhishma Sudan or my Guru Sudan. Sudan means to kill. So he says, fine. When you fight demons. And I am your disciple. And when I fight, I have to fight my relatives. Very nice. You haven't showed any such kind of bravery, so called. And Krishna says, come on, this is like a eunuch. Kshudram, this is petty. In India we say chalu. This is not good stuff, this is very third class. Petty weak-mindedness of heart. Get up, tyaktva, all this give up and uttishtha. So Arjuna again had, he rallies his mind and asks a few more questions, and that's how the Gita then unfolds. I saw something interesting in the Mahabharata. Bhima also underwent this kind of a shock treatment by Krishna. This is just before Krishna is about to leave the Pandavas and come to Duryodhana and company and ask for peace. So, the point is whether peace has any chance. In Prabhupada's time, the Beatles were having a song, Give Peace a Chance. So, rock musicians always feel that, you know, give peace a chance, give peace a chance. So, Krishna asks Yudhishthir, all the Pandavas, Draupadi, they are all there. And he says, I am trying to go. Let me talk. And Yudhishthir says, look, I am willing to do anything for peace. In my heart I feel we won't. Because we know their intentions. We know what they are. Now the intentions, the Kauravas, inside, outside, everything is very clear. But still, people should not accuse us. He recounts, we went to Dhritarashtra and said, please convince your sons, we are happy with 5 villages. We are Kshatriyas. Acts like begging, gathering roots and herbs and fruits and flowers from the trees, that's not our job. We have to rule. We have to support the Brahmanas. Please understand, when Vedic Kshatriyas are insisting that I want to become the king, I want to become the king. Well, in Kali Yuga also there are people, politicians fighting for the throne. I want to become king, I want to become CM, PM, whatever. Why? For what reason? You want to support Brahmanas? You want to support deity worship in the temples? No way. But this is the reason why the Pandavas, even when they were in the forest, they didn't stop their daily charity. It is the foremost duty of Kshatriyas to take taxes, support deity worship, temple construction, support Brahmanas and give profuse charity. It's just for that purpose we need a kingdom. And we are happy with just 5 villages, 1 village per brother. Just see, they are giving up the whole kingdom. And Duryodhana is saying, no. Even if you want a village,
Actually, he fears my whole population will go in those five villages. That's a solid insult, isn't it? Giving up a pure whole kingdom and trying to live in this crowded five villages. They would rather be under the Pandavas than under him. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj says something else. I am willing to play dice again. If war can be avoided, I can play the gambling match again. And he will say, hey, what do you mean? You lost miserably. He said, no. In that Agyatvas time, I learned the art. How I got cheated. Prabhupada used to say that. You cheat me once, shame on you. You cheat me again, shame on me. That I allowed myself to be cheated. So Yudhishthira Dharmaraj is always the balancing force. When you read Mahabharata, you'll always find he's not interested in who gains, who loses. He's always thinking, what will Dharma say? What will Dharma say? He is also the son of Dharma personified. Krishna looks at Yudhishthira and says, my God, what a great personality you are. And there is no example of somebody showing that kind of broad-mindedness. All right. Bhima, what do you say? And this time Bhima tells Krishna, Krishna, please understand, Duryodhana is a bad, wicked-minded person. If you try to give him upadesh, he might get angry. So don't anger him. And Yudhishthira Maharaj also interjects in between saying that, what if they harm you? Krishna says, don't worry about me. Even if all the armies of the three worlds come in front of me, I can consume them. I don't care fig for these petty Kauravas, don't worry about me. But tell me, Bhima, what do you say? He said, well, I would like you to try fully for peace. And Krishna is surprised. He said, you telling me that I should? He said, yes, Dhritarashtra may be very angry. You know, he's very diplomatic, very cunning. It's very difficult to understand what's in his mind, although his intentions are evil. At that time, Krishna loses his patience. And he says, look who's talking. This Bhima used to roam around at night, not knowing what to do. Sometimes he would beat up earth as to why I am not getting the opportunity. Sometimes he would laugh like a madman. Sometimes wail loudly. Sometimes for hours and hours people could see him, his head buried in his knees. Sometimes sobbing uncontrollably. He says, this is the same Bhima? He says, you have become like a eunuch. Same word again. Krishna is the same, you know. He says, I think at the prospect of war, some personalities have actually started to become afraid. The terror, the fear, the effort of actually participating in a battle. I think from all these years of so-called living in the forest, you have become weak-willed. Your determination is gone. At that time, Bhima just says, look, I am not weak. First of all, he says, one is not supposed to speak about one's praise through one's own mouth. I know the rule. But now I am challenged. Now I'll tell you what I can do. He said, these two arms, you can bring the mountains and oceans and I'll crush them. Not a single soldier of the opposite army is safe if I am angry enough. In fact, it is said that Bhima alone killed something like 10 Akshohinis and all 100 sons. He had taken this vow all the 100 sons were killed by Bhima. He began, the first person to die was through him, and the last, Duryodhan, was also through him. So he did what, he carried out what he was proclaiming. So after hearing Bhima so charged up fully, Krishna says, well, I was just testing. I know that you are not weak-willed, you are not having any kind of lack of determination, but it was just to show what kind of glorious personality you have, that's why I made you speak like that. So this is how close the Pandavas and Krishna were. Coming to our level about being weak-willed, I found something in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Harinam Chintamani. The main issue for sadhakas, like Prabhupada said, 90% of your progress will be dependent upon how you chant Hare Krishna. Now, if chanting Hare Krishna is that important, it needs to be given that much importance. Like a businessman, they have that 80-20 rule. Some of you might have heard that 80% of the stock has 20% of the value, and 20% of the stock has 80% of the value. So if you have something valuable, you put in more effort to protect it. It's simple. Your water pots and your other things can be put outside your house, but your jewelry would be some deep secret part that importance is given. So if chanting is so important, why don't we give it that much importance? Why don't we talk about it so much? Sometimes we just get carried away by the feeling that, oh, there are no hard and fast rules. So no problem. Jayadeva Maharaj once said, well, there are soft and slow rules, but they may not be hard and fast. What is that hard and fast rule which is not there? Mahaprabhu said, Tatra arpita niyamita smarane na kala. That means there is no fixed posture that you have to sit for chanting. Not that you have to sit facing east or facing north. No, those kind of rules are not there. You don't need an asana all the time, or you need to have a darbhasana. And na kala, that means there is no favorable time for chanting Hare Krishna. All times are okay. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says there are four main obstacles. Of that, this weak determination is one of them. First of all, he says, Swarupa Vibhrama, mistaken identity. Who we are. When we say who we are, we give some name or some belonging to some community, or I was born here, I was born there. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked by Sanatana Goswami, Kayami, two words, Kayami, who am I? We should read the Chaitanya Charitamrita for this briefest of like lofty philosophical discussion. Who am I? Why am I unhappy in this world? What should I do to get out of it? Important questions, isn't it? And pat comes Mahaprabhu's reply. He doesn't say, well, you are that force or your consciousness or your spirit and you are a nice little flower blossoming on the horizon. Nothing of that fluff. He says, you are Krishna's eternal servant. That's all. Many times, straight that answer comes on your head like a very bright, luminous flashlight. You get blinded. What? Me, a servant, that too eternal, and that too of Krishna? In the recent conversations, that person is a devotee now, but the understanding was that of the avatars, you know, many are like straightforward, simple, honest gentlemen. You know, they make sense. Ram, very nice. You know. Lord Shiva, he appeals to you so much. Like, especially sometimes you won't feel the divinity, they have some underdogs. That means they are being beaten up and you say, I feel for them, you know. But Krishna doesn't get that sympathy. They always say, Krishna, he's a clever fellow. He very, 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 very mischievous, troublesome. And more than anything, Krishna's audacity. I am the Lord. Yeah, no questions asked. Yeah. Who is God? Me. Who am I? You are my servant. Any other questions? No. Hare Krishna. Thank you. You feel like, hey, wait. How can the philosophy be so short? This is Los Angeles. Prabhupada is talking with a group of theology professors. And Prabhupada, he knows what they are, but he just makes it interesting and says, so what do you do? Oh, we do theological research. Oh, what is that research? Trying to find out who God is. How do you find out? So they explain. And after some time, Prabhupada thought enough is enough. There is a picture, Rukmini Dwarkadish. So Prabhupada said, we have a simple understanding. Here is God, Krishna. Now, why don't you begin? So they are saying, wait. The fun, the joy is in the chase. Like, you know, chasing God or chasing your objective, there is a lot of fun there. Once you get it, you feel like, oh, it was not that glamorous. This is a mundane material sentiment. People have climbed Mount Everest and said, kind of getting bored now, let's come down. So you may say, why did you go up in the first place? Did anyone tell you? Was it by force? Did somebody invite you there? No. You just climb because it's there, it's the tallest mountain. What's the glory? People have made their million, their billion. I met somebody who's like one of the richest, one of the top 10 richest in one big Middle East country. I mean, Middle East is a small country. It's a small country. He's the biggest man there. This man, traditionally rich, 200 years old lineage, family super rich. They have properties in Middle East. Nobody is allowed to buy there, but their great grandfather is like close to the people who rule there. He said, after some time, I realized that a million more is just like 6 more zeros added. You don't get that bliss. Of course, I never had any experience, but we have to believe what they say. Sports people, many times they say, once you achieve that, you feel, what next? What next? What next? So that ambition just grows on you. And at one point of time, you just feel dejected. There is nothing more left. So you are Krishna's eternal servant. And one is, if you accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord, then everything else follows. You see, if you accept Him as the Supreme Lord, Lord means one who gives orders. Then everybody else is giving orders, but His order has to be followed the most. Like a clerk is asking his servant or his office boy, come there. And the head clerk says, no, come there. And the top boss says, no, come there. So he just looks here and there, and these two have to say, no, go there. He's the top man, he's asking. So similarly, if Krishna is accepted as supreme, everything about Him is supreme. His order also is supreme. Then His explanation as to who you are also has to be the supreme truth. You may say, I never felt I am your servant. He says, no, I am telling you, you are. Who cares whether you felt or not? I am telling you. I know who you are. You are my long lost servant. So, Tattva Vibhrama is, the sooner we sort out who we are, the better. And as long as there is any one iota of problem regarding who actually I am, we will not get proper support in our Harinam Sankirtan. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, first of all, Tattva Vibhrama. Second, he talks of Asat Trishna, which is translated as evil propensities, sinful desires, sinful propensities. It's a nice flow chart. We have a self, we all have. The moment there is self-interest. Self cannot be static. Self cannot be just like a stone. Self is chinmay. Chinmay means desires. Some thoughts will become desires. Like you think about drinking water. You're not exactly thirsty, but you say, it would be nice if I get a cool glass of water. After half an hour, you say, I want a glass of water. Now it's a proper desire. And then you finally act on it. So thoughts, desire, action. Thoughts, desire, action. It goes on like that. So self has interest. Self-interest. When that self-interest is covered by the modes, it becomes a very, very sorry state. It's called exploitation of nature. Like today, common sense, many countries would be so happy if they could give up some overconsumption. But they say, no, our way of life cannot be compromised. We are what we are. And that's why we are ruining everything. The whole green ecology movement has picked up because some people have started making sense to them. Hey, what is the, like the Red Indian saying, one who creates filth in his own bedroom, he doesn't understand that at the end of the day he has to sleep in it. If it is filthy by your daily day activities, at night you will be forcibly sleeping there. You have to keep it clean. So the second thing is Asat Trishna. So self has self-interest. Self-interest, which is totally covered by material nature, goes into the exploitation mode. And once you are in that exploitation mode, you can't understand spirituality. Third is this Hriday Durbalya. We'll take it last. Fourth is Aparad. Aparad is, it is loosely translated as offense, but upper means to like move you away from the main path. So like you are going on a road, say on a chariot or in a car even, and there's a big boulder. Your tire goes over that because of the speed and because of that obstacle, you turn turtle and you land in the ditch. That's what offenses do. They threaten or they actually act in such a way that you are thrown off the path of making progress. Offenses can be to the holy name. That's our perennial struggle, how to avoid offenses. Offenses are to Krishna himself. Those who do puja seva, they have to be careful of seva aparad. Offenses to Krishna's devotees. It is said that if you are not happy seeing a Vaishnava, that's an aparad. At least you have to show your happiness. Later it says, don't kill Vaishnavas. That means, I don't know why they put it in the scripture. That means, it must be happening like that. You look at them as mundane living entities and you commit aparad. And lastly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, offense to other living entities even. So, we'll finish off with this Hriday Durbalyam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives four things which cause Hriday Durbalyam. Attention to things unrelated to Krishna. Now, somebody might philosophize, no, but you preach here that everything is connected to Krishna. Everything is, but do you feel it? Simple example, the railway say that ye aapki sampatti hai. Right? ये देश की संपत्ति है. से ओके आई एम फ्रॉम देश, आई एम ए सिटीजन हियर एंड दिस इज सपोज माई प्रॉपर्टी, बट डू आई ट्रीट इट लाइक वन? आई रूइन इट. दैट्स नॉट ट्रीटिंग इट लाइक योर प्रॉपर्टी. व्हाई दे से दिस इज योर्स, कीप इट सेफ. सो इफ यू सी एवरीथिंग एज कृष्णाज प्रॉपर्टी, ऑटोमेटिकली एवरीथिंग हैज टू बी यूज इन कृष्णाज सर्विस, और एटलीस्ट यू हैव टू टेक परमिशन फ्रॉम कृष्णा बिफोर यूजिंग इट इन योर सर्विस. So that's one obstacle. Secondly, he says just deceit means cheating, lying mentality. Third one is serious. We are all in it together, at least those who are listening here or through other means. We all want to make progress. But you know what can cause serious stoppage of progress? Envy of someone else's progress. Now there is actually no need to be envious of anyone. In a Pune Yatra, Giriraj Maharaj explained that we should understand, first of all, Krishna is unlimited. All right. Krishna's desires are unlimited. The resources for pleasing Krishna are also unlimited. Now you might say, well, there was a chance to make a dress and only this person made the dress, so I lost my chance. Now you are talking in terms of mundane time. But actually, if you are really interested, you might get your chance sometime in the future. But the fact remains that any other mundane person, you make him eat some laddus, at the best of the laddus made, after 3, 4, or 5, he may say, okay, enough. And then comes somebody says, no, at least for my sake, take one. He may say, I can't. Another one goes in. Another person comes and gives another one. Finally, one more comes and all come out. So that's what happens when you try to please a person who is not God. So he was trying to say, don't worry, these kind of problems don't occur with Krishna. Somebody can offer him the whole universe and he can be saying, anything else? I can take it. This is not greed from his point of view. This is a, as they say, God sent. This is like a good golden opportunity. If somebody has done, somebody has pleased Krishna in some other way, you can do it in some other way. Because envying the progress done by somebody else means you're actually casting some aspersion on Krishna's choice. I'm just sharing something which I heard. I had asked a senior devotee that how do you explain when somebody more junior than you makes more progress? So he said, wait, at least you should be assured that that means progress is possible, right? In this process works because somebody actually made progress. Your problem is why not me, why he made? But let us have some facts straight. Actually, it means somebody, this process purifies your heart. Now, why your heart was not purified? There could be many reasons. I think 2 days ago, Nanda Dulal Prabhu gave the example of Garudji. His diet is snakes. He is allowed to eat snakes. So he catches one snake. And if I'm not mistaken, it's about this Rohini Sarovar near Rohini Kund near Jagannath temple. Somehow that snake's tail touches the Rohini Kund's jala, water. And lo and behold, instead of holding a snake, he finds holding somebody who is forearm formed. Shankar Chakra Gada Padma Dhari. And he says, what am I supposed to do with him? So he's given the order, put him on his back, or your back, and carry him. So he was supposed to be, he was in a mood to eat somebody. Rather than becoming a prey, he is supposed to be his carrier and takes him back all the way back to Godhead. So the progress made by that snake is not, I think Ramanacharya's disciples one day saw him after his bhiksha, after his prasad, he just gargled some water and spat it out. Some fish swallowed it. And they got liberated. So, one disciple said, Acharya, how amazing. You are a Mahabhagwat and somebody just took these remnants and they got liberation. We eat every day. Why don't we get this transformation? He says, there are degrees of accepting Mahaprasad. How you accept it? They accepted it, well, they are fish. They don't have any intelligence. They accepted in a helpless way or whatever. More than anything, Krishna decided, this is how I will show my mercy. We are not here in a grading category. Oh, he's a 73% Vaishnav or he's a 82% Vaishnav. No, we don't have report cards showing I got so much in humility, so much in compassion. No, it doesn't occur like that. We are all helpless mercy cases. So where is the question of bragging about mercy? And this is one good antidote, that somebody begged for more mercy and he got it. Or somebody didn't make a show of begging for mercy but still got it. Yeah, Krishna is... What do you mean by independent? That means nothing can bind him, not even these rules. I like Govind Prabhu's explanation of how Vibhishan is about to... He's there in the sky, is about to touch down, and Lord Ram is asking Sugriva, Hanuman, other people, their personalities, what should I do with him? How should I relate to this incident? So some say, arrest him, he's a spy, or check out, we don't know what his credentials are. And Lord Ram says, I think I'm going to just accept him. So they are saying, but no, this doesn't, this is not proper. So he says, from my point of view, I'm not talking about some Shastri codes or some rule or some protocol or some kind of a Puranic rule book, that this is how you have to deal with spies, or in the time of war, deal like this, in the time of peace, do like that. No. Lord Ram actually was asked that, in case Ravana comes right now, this is just few moments before the war begins, and he says, okay, here is Sita, and sorry, Hare Krishna, I'm so sorry, everything happened, kindly forget. He says, look, I promised Vibhishan I'll give him Lanka, so I'll give Lanka to Vibhishan. If Ravana comes, I'll give him Ayodhya. That means he doesn't care whether I would leave or whatever. So, what Krishna can do is not limited to the rules and regulations of what we read or what, how much mercy can he give to somebody. No way. There is no regulation on him. So, envying somebody's progress only contributes to one thing. Our heart becomes weak. And the Thakur advises us that we should get away from this problem. Fourth is, he describes longing for position and fame. As such, we are all Das here, Das and Dasi. So where is the question of, still I am the better Das, or I am, even among this, they describe it as a big fish in a small pond syndrome. All these volunteer organizations, ISKCON is one. We are like a small pond and we try to be the big fish here. At least within this circle, I am the best. I am the best cook, I am the best dancer and the singer, whatever. So within that circle, or as one, I think in one seminar one devotee was pointing out that, hey Radha Gopinath, I'm not humble enough. At least I'm humble than him. But Gopinath may say, that's not the criteria. I check Haridas Thakur as the emblem of humility or Sanatan Goswami. Well, you can't compare me to them. But at least with this kind of crowd, no. The gold standard remains the gold standard. So therefore, there is no question of having any position or having any fame. Fame comes because of Vaishnava culture. People do talk in terms of, oh, he's the best devotee or he's the best devotee. Prabhupada once described Yudhishthira Maharaj as the best devotee. Then the Pandavas were called the best devotees. Somebody said, Prabhupada, you said gopis are best devotees. Prabhupada said, yes, that's correct. And then he was talking about Prahlad Maharaj. What about him? He says he's the best of the best of the best. So it's absolute. One disciple of Prabhupada, 2 years ago we were in Mayapur, he gave an interpretation of a dream where he complained to Prabhupada and said that, I'm not allowed to come in a bit closer to you. I'm feeling that your affection for me is like now shared. Those of you, I was a single child, so I don't have this experience, but those of you who have been brought up along with younger siblings or older siblings, you have this understanding that at one point of time your mother has to share affection. You are shouting and the younger one is shouting and he gets attention. He may say, hey, what's that? Just 2 years ago I was the cynosure of everyone's eyes and now nobody is looking at me. That happens. It doesn't happen in bhakti. Prabhupada assured him, affection is for everybody. Affection is for everybody. We had asked Radhanath Maharaj once that you described one disciple as very dear to Prabhupada. You described another also as very, very dear to Prabhupada. And he immediately understood what we are hinting at. He said, Prabhupada can have 1 billion dear most disciples. You understand that? We said, This is strange mathematics. So, this is a short understanding of something from Harinam Chintamani, where Thakur Bhaktivinod gives us an understanding of how to deal with this weakness of heart. To conclude, he talks to Kunti Devi. She talks about her problems. She says, oh gentlemen, do my parents, brothers, sisters, nephews, family women and girlhood friends still remember us? Now this is like any woman will feel like that. We are. She explains her plight as, I am suffering in the midst of my enemies like a doe. Doe means a female deer. In the midst of wolves. Sapatna madhye shochanti vrikanam harinimiva. Very, very sorry state of affairs for Kunti Devi at least. And surprisingly, Kunti is in Hastinapur, in a palace. Akrur is in front of her. She's her brother. He's her brother. And she starts affectionately addressing Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Mahayogin, Vishwatman, Vishwabhavana, Prapannam, Pahi, Govinda, Shishubhi cha avasidatim. Vishwanath Chakripath gives an explanation. Krishna Krishna Mahayogin. Mahayogi here means, although you can be in Mathura, you can hear my lament. I have the conviction. It's not that Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Devotion, anyone who comes in front of the deities and Prabhupada says there, feelingly cries out to Govinda, Krishna listens. It is a feeling which is more important than just the act of like the outward decibel is not important. The inside feeling is more important. Vishwatman, you are the heart of this universe. So you are in my heart as well and you can hear me. Vishwa Bhavana. Bhavan is to protect. You can protect everybody, why can't you protect me? Govinda, one who gives pleasure to the senses, she says, please be visible so I may admire you. To conclude, in India we are saddled with this thing about Bhagwan Darshan Do, Bhagwan Darshan Do. So do we actually pray to Krishna to give darshan, or is it okay if he doesn't give, or who knows whether everybody gets it or not, or give me in a dream? What exactly is the truth? The truth is, devotees do pray. Jagannatha Swami, Nayana Pathagami Bhavatume. Please be visible in front of my eyes. O Lord of the universe, please be visible. Here, Govinda, please be visible. But, the big but is, this visibility is not because you come and dance for me, you come and do this for me. You come so that I may serve you. These devotees have perfected the art of serving Krishna, and then they want to have him visible. And therefore, to check that particular thing, that neophytes may say, oh Krishna, come in front of me. He says, okay, here I am. Well, alright, go away. That could be the danger. In fact, one Mayavadi, he argued that, what do you do all day in Vaikuntha? I mean, you have Krishna and Vishnu in front of you, you are in front of him, you just see him all day? And Radhan Maharaj was speaking in this old class on this subject. He said, well, they don't understand what Vaikuntha life is. It's so multifarious, so many activities are going on. But even if we agree to this wrong statement, that there is nothing but seeing Krishna, still 24 hours are not enough. You could still get that much joy just by seeing. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur cautioned that it is better to serve Krishna in such a way that he comes to see you. That's a much easier thing. When you want to see Krishna, you may or may not. Even if he comes in front of you, you may not be able to see him. But he said, surely, when Krishna desires to see you, who is this devotee? I would like to see. That's like recognition coming from, like in an army, somebody has done something and his progress reports reaches the topmost echelons and they say, okay, let us award him this medal. That means recognition. So, he said that, devotees should serve Krishna in such a way that Krishna is more eager to see you, and that's like more beneficial for your devotional service. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.